Okay, today is Wednesday, December 28, 2016, and we're here at the Sycamore Hill site. And can you let me know your name?
Linda Daniels Coleman.
Okay. Geraldine Daniels Dudley.
And is it okay that I'm interviewing you?
Absolutely.
Great. So can you tell me a little bit about your connection to this area?
Well, this is where I grew up and attended church. Growing up in Greenville, in the downtown area, it was a real community. We played together. Everybody knew everybody else. We were all more like an extended family. It was a real community. The people were... Gosh, we were in and out of one another's homes, and the church was really the center of our lives. I was baptized at Sycamore when I was 12 years old by Reverend Mosley, and I can tell you that it truly was the center of our lives because it was like our social life. We didn't really have a lot of social places to go. There was a movie called the Roxy Theater that was in a place called The Block, but we played down in this area because there was a playground, and our rec director was, we called her Miss Sweetie, Mrs. Hagen, but that was where we played during the summer. But in the meantime, church was every Sunday, church and Sunday school. During the summers, we had vacation Bible school, and just about every night of the week, we had some activity going on at the church. There was a youth night, missionary, junior missionary circle, choir rehearsal. There were just a lot of different activities from this church, and I can remember I was 12 years old, and I had spent the summer in Scotland Neck, and I came back home, and I saw all of these signs that said, vote for urban renewal, and then I saw signs that said, vote against urban renewal. So I went home, and I asked my mom, who was this man, urban renewal, that people wanted people to vote for? But I did not know that it was a... it was going to be a development. My mom explained what was going on with me. And I can tell you that even when we were displaced, having to leave Greenville, the downtown area, we had a connection because the kids, we still were going to a segregated school, CMEPS, and so we still saw each other every day at school. And many of the people were able to connect with one another because the church, and so many people still maintain that connection at Sycamore. Talking about this church, even when we weren't in church, we were playing church because there was a place down on 2nd Street, the Masonic Lodge and the Gatlins, one of the Gatlins, Charles, was always the choir master or the choir director, and his favorite song was the Hallelujah Chorus. So he would line us up and he'd have a switch and he'd make all of us sing. And I guess he was imitating Mr. Norcott, who was our choir director. So, but he had a switch and he would make us sing the Hallelujah Chorus. And because the Masonic Lodge had all of these steps, and so we would march up the steps and down, and he would preach and he would sing. So that was those were memories. And where the CMF school is now, we walked to school because the buses did not they didn't come downtown, so we had no bus rides to school. And I can remember, I don't care how cold it was or how rainy it was, we had to walk to school. Yes. And school took in, the bell rang at 8:35. And we could tell the time by the bus going to New York, because it was the 8:30 bus. So whenever we saw the 8:30 bus, if we weren't at a certain place, we knew we were late. So there were places that we went downtown. There was a bakery, and we would go by the bakery because they would have the day-old goods, baked goods, like donuts that we could get, three for a nickel, I think, or two for a nickel. But the ice cream place is the one I remember the most. It was a dairy, Carolina Dairy, I think that was it. Mm-hmm. And they had double cones, and you could get three dips of ice cream for a dime.
Oh.
So we would get vanilla, chocolate, and strawberry. And for 10 cents, we could get three scoops of ice cream. And that would be our treat on the way home many days. So those were things that I remember about growing up in Greenville. All of us walked to church. I don't think anybody drove to church. Everybody walked. And so this was, it was just a great place full of great memories, this area. And I am so happy that someone has decided to preserve this history of Greenville and what it meant to so many people growing up in the downtown area.
We're just so appreciative of everybody coming out. So do you remember your address of where your house was here?
Yes, I really do. Matter of fact, it's one block from where the transit bus that takes the people now.
Okay.
And like she said, we stayed in church. Also, there was a lady, her name was Miss Besson. And every Sunday at 4 o'clock, she would gather all the neighborhood kids and we would come to the Sycamore Hill Church, and we were called the Sunshine Band.
That's right. I forgot Miss Betsy Askew.
Yes.
She was the director of the Sunshine Band, and that was what we did Sundays at 4.
There was no excuse. You had to go. And we used to stay in church. We went to Sunday school. We went to church. Then we would come home. We'd go back to the Sunshine Band. After the Sunshine Band, there was the BTU. You know,
so many people talked about the BTU yesterday.
Yes.
Well, and because one of the things is, I told you about the movie. Yeah. Well, we couldn't go any place. We could not go to the movies if we didn't go to church.
You had to come to Sycamore Hill.
Well, you know, people went to church in their communities, and this was the only church in our community. So this is where we grew up, and this was the church that was within walking distance from us. It was the closest church, so most of us came here.
And there was a preacher named, he was at CMS, Mr. Brooks, Reverend Brooks?
Reverend Rooks.
Rooks. If we was at the post office a certain time, he was dropping the mail off, we would get a ride to school.
He had a station wagon, and we would all pile into his station wagon.
Oh, one another.
He came to the post office every morning. He was at the post office about 8:20, 8:25. So if we were really late, we would just hang around the post office and wait for Reverend Rooks, because we knew we could get a ride with him, because he lived right across from the school,
yes.
Somewhere near the school. So he'd drop us off.
That's great.
And that was the good old days, you know, like Linda was saying. Everybody knew everybody. And it's not like it out here today. Kids don't have no respect for their elders and nothing like that. My mother could whoop your kids, your mother could whoop her kids. It wasn't anything sad about it. You didn't disrespect no elder. You stayed in, as we said, in your lane, you know.
Yeah.
And it was just... And not, even to this day, we still have a connection with some of the people that was from down here. The ones are still here. We, you know, we run into them time to time, you know.
Yeah.
And we always talk about how good a time we had when we was down here. And it was so sad that, you know, nobody really wanted to leave.
Yeah.
But we really had no choice.
Yeah.
It was better for us when we left, though.
Yeah.
Yes.
So how was that experience of being displaced and having to move?
Well, like I said, once we were displaced, it was people kind of got excited about it in the end because the places they went to, the houses were built a lot better. So it was a better place. And again, we kept our connection at school because we had our school. So there was only one high school for African Americans, and that was CMEPS, the high school. And so we kept our connection there. And then we saw many of those people at church, the ones that we were used to seeing. And we were able to make some new acquaintances with people who lived in our new neighborhoods. So overall, the experience wasn't bad, but you never forget the place where you grew up and the memories there. And luckily, we had a lot of fond memories of people that we grew up around, our surroundings. Because summertimes, we just remember being in this area at the playground, playing and hopscotch and, you know, baseball and whatever else we
did. Spin the ball, you know.
So anyway. We had a very normal childhood growing up with a lot of fond memories and people who to this day still we keep up with, and we keep up with them not only through church, but we have a reunion every year. Epps, and people look forward to coming home because it is a whole weekend of activities where people do get back together and and reminisce and just have a great time.
That's wonderful.
This is a lot of fun. It really is, you know.
I met Mr. Gatlin yesterday, so I understand your story.
Wow.
Of
Charles.
I did.
So when I talked about the church.
And
playing church.
I'm quite sure he had a whole lot to say then.
Yeah, he was our choir director. He was our youth choir director, playing lovingly. Mm-hmm. And our preacher too sometimes, because he always kept us in line. But yeah, so those are the kinds of memories that when we weren't at the playground, we were playing with we were playing church and playing choir, singing.
That's great.
And I still can't sing. So you can imagine. But I think that his twin sisters would always get the brunt of it because they would always get out of line. And he would always whip them with a switch to get them back in line. So,
and we always thought he was going to be a preacher because he loved church.
Mm-hmm.
He really did, you know?
Yeah.
And we always said, that's Reverend Gatlin.
Which I tried to get him to sing for me yesterday, but he wouldn't sing.
Oh,
he wouldn't sing for me.
He can sing now.
I tried. So maybe.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah,
well, we just appreciate you so much talking to us. Is there anything before I stop that the interview that stands out that you'd like to share?
I would just like to say a few more words about the church. And I always thought that was the most beautiful church that I've ever seen in Greenville. And it had so many nooks and crannies in it. You could almost get lost in the church.
Mm-hmm.
And I can remember the choir stand and seeing Mr. Norcott, who lived across the street from us, and playing. And there was a mirror, and he would just play, and he could just look out into the pews. And into the sanctuary and see everybody else. But I can remember so much about the church, the basement where we had our Sunday school classes and Bible study. And
then some of the churches didn't have a baptism pool, you know, and they would come there to be baptized because I was baptized then.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
And it was just, it's like Nanda said, it was just nice, you know, it was a pleasure We had fun. We had big fun down here, you know, especially with the playground. And she was like a mother to everybody, you
know. That's the thing.
I did not realize until I was an adult that she was the recreation supervisor. I just thought, because everybody just treated everybody like... The adults treated all of the children like they were their own, and when she was there, I just thought she was just a caring parent, you know. I never knew she was the rec director until I was an adult.
Wow.
So, but we knew that if anything went wrong, that we could just go and tell Miss Sweetie that she would be there. So,
that's wonderful.
Yes.
Well, we just thank you so much, and
thank you for doing this. This is really important.
Yes, it is.
So thank you.
And you know, and it really is something that a lot of young people should be down to listen to. You know.
Yeah, and that's our hope. Is
you know, because it doesn't hurt to know your history.
Right.
It really don't.
Knowing where you come from
is
important.
And that's very important now.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
There's so much going on out here. Kids need to know a little bit more about history. You know where. And they'll help them to know where they are going.
You're right. Yes, ma'am. Well, thank you so much. I'm going to take you off the recording spotlight, and we'll put you in front of the camera spotlight. How about